Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, welcome back to OMF. As you heard, Mutt talking about Governor Baker. We'll hear a little bit of him here in this segment. In the bottom of the hour at 3:30, we'll talk to Nick Verano, who is the owner of Strega Restaurants here throughout the city.
Hey, Nicky B.
To get Nicky's take.
How many restaurants does he have, by the way? I mean, he's got a lot. He's Strega. Just, he's got Strip.
He actually has moved on. He actually sold Waterfront Strip.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
So he's only got the one on Hanover Street.
And Prime. He's got
Prime.
He's got three on Hanover, and he still has the one in Encore. So he still has those ones, but he's moved on. But still, in the restaurant business, we'll get into some of these social distancing checklists that Governor Baker threw out there for the restaurants, as well as sports announcing. You'll hear a little bit of that in a minute, but I want to get to the phone calls talking about N'Keal Harry, Ryan Hannibal article talking about N'Keal Harry himself, maybe even other young rookie wide receivers and tight ends might be better off with Jared Stidham than maybe a demanding Tom Brady. We know how he is with rookies. Let's go to the phone calls. Let's go to Kyle, who's in Lowell. Kyle, go ahead, buddy. You're on OMF.
Yeah, so I kind of tend to agree with you guys, even though it sounds crazy, that N'Keal Harry's probably going to have a great year next year. Basically, he's going to be our only wide receiver. And I agree with you guys. Every pass I think he got from Tom Brady last year, it was like $1,000 on that $1,000,000 on the line. It's kind of like getting a pass from LeBron. You saw with the Lakers early on, guys are missing wide open jumpers because every pass, every shot is more important when it comes from a great like LeBron or Tom Brady, especially for a young guy who's supposed to be having expectations right away. So I definitely think next year is going to be a weight off his shoulders, and we're going to see a lot more talent coming from him.
Yeah, you know, I was just thinking, I remember, like, who's happier that Tom Brady is gone? Jarrett Stidham or N'Keal Harry? Let's pose that question. Because if I'm N'Keal Harry, I probably felt suffocated by Brady and how demanding he was and just how militant he was. And I was also dealing with some issues because I was late to the party and, you know, he didn't trust me. And then he didn't give me, I didn't have an opportunity for him to trust me. So to me, there's a lot that goes into it. But N'Keal Harry probably was so happy that Brady was leaving. Now, I haven't talked to him, but I've been in a position where there's been an older player that was stuck in his ways, and the younger player just is like, listen, man, like, you're old. We don't do things like that. Or why can't you adjust to me? I remember when Joey Galloway came here.
Mm-hmm.
I was Joe and I were drafted in the same year to Seattle, and when I saw him in the tunnel. I had retired, and he was still playing. And he was walking. He was late. The whole team had already passed by. Josh McDaniels and him were walking, and they were talking. And I looked at Joey's face, and Josh was giving him all this information and really just, you know, telling him what to do. And Joey gave me this look like, dude, just please stop. Like, he didn't say anything. He was just talking to me with his eyes. And I've seen that look so many times, you know, because, you know, Lou, like, some coach will be monologuing.
Yeah, is he rolling his eyes at you?
He's almost rolling his eyes. And then Josh kept leaving. Josh left, right? And then Joey stopped and we chatted. And he basically was telling me, it ain't going to work. It ain't going to work. Joey ran a 4.3. Yeah. Joey was a 1,000-yard receiver the last 3 years. He gets here and they can't get right.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it was they wouldn't adjust. Finally, there was a quarterback that wouldn't adjust to Joey, and he had to adjust to the quarterback, it didn't work.
I agree. I agree that N'Keal Harry might be better off because maybe there's some pressure off, and he and Stidham are on the same page. They're both going to make mistakes, so they'll both understand the mistakes. There's a flip side to it, though, because I don't think it's better for Julian Edelman. Like, I think your best wide receiver is not better. You know, you think about the small windows, right, that he and Brady, they're on the same page. I mean, Edelman is running and you know, for there's a small window, right? And the timing is always there. The precision is always there. And if Stidham is a second behind, it's broken up. The defender's there. You know, so I worry more about, great, N'Keal Harry, he might become a better player, and hopefully he does. But I worry it takes away from a guy in Julian Edelman, your go-to guy. You think it affects him negatively?
No. No, I would say that Edelman's working with Stidham now. Stidham is doing to Edelman what Edelman did to Brady. Hey, when are you working out?
Matter of fact, I've a little birdie told me that they have been working out together for a while.
No, that's common sense.
Yeah.
Every other quarterback is doing with the guys that he plays with. It would be stupid for Edelman, careless really, if he didn't try to figure out how to work a connection. Like, Edelman is going to be just as important to Stidham as Edelman was to Brady.
No, I agree, but you know, I mean, Edelman and Brady, they line up, and Brady looks at Edelman, he sees the guy. He already knows whether Edelman's going to kind of sit, or he's going to go left, he's going to go right, and the ball is there the minute he's open.
Yep.
You wait 1 second, now the defender's kind of there breaking it up. So it's going to be one of those, I could see him kind of running, like, you know, 6 yards, just sort of stopping and turning around and sitting, and the ball not there. And him just sort of sitting there. Then maybe the ball comes in late. You know, I could see a lot of that from Julian Edelman.
You know what I see? Because it's happened to me not as much me because I was always on the right page. But just like you said, so I see it one way. I turn right and you thought I was going to turn in. Like, you missed the leverage points. And then also, if you're missing the leverage points and you're also missing the anticipation of the leverage point, because what Edelman does, if you want to go like high-end receiver school, he recognizes what the defense is beforehand. He recognizes who's got him and then what they're trying to protect. So he attacks that area that they're trying to protect to create more space. So he identifies it. So Brady already knows it. So he's just sitting there waiting because he knows what Edelman is
doing.
They
see the same thing.
They see the same thing. And then the timing of when he makes his cuts and the body language is all just so just pristine, really, when you think about it. Welker had the same thing.
Yeah.
Troy Brown had the same thing. Deion Branch had the same thing. Anyone who played in the slot and was able to run those return routes and all that stuff, man, it takes a lot of reps, and it takes a lot of failure, more importantly. You have to screw up a lot because and hopefully it's in a practice or in a preseason game.
Yeah. That's right. That's my concern. That's all. Like, N'Keal Harry could be better. Could be. We could find out who he is. You know, first-round talent. There's a lot of wide receivers last year. We kept sitting there all year long going, oh, my God, Deebo Samuel, you know, Metcalf, the kid Brown out in Marquise Brown in Baltimore. There were so many guys. You're like, wow, they're impacting his teams, and you're not getting it from N'Keal Harry. Maybe you get it. I just worry about the step back from a guy that maybe is more important in Julian Edelman.
I actually think that N'Keal Harry could be a 1,000-yard receiver this year.
Wow.
I think he can be a 1,000-yard receiver. I do. One, he's got tremendous yak. He's got tremendous yards after catch ability. So, even the short routes can be big gains. I think they're going to put him in positions where they're going to throw it up to him. Yeah, I think he's a – whatever you thought, Josh, what was your best-case scenario for Josh Gordon? Do you remember that?
Yes. It was, I want to say, 65 – so it was going to be like 14 weeks. I had him about 65 catches, maybe 1,000 yards and 9 touchdowns.
I can't remember, Tyler. Maybe you can look it up. I can't remember what he ended up with. And you know, he got cut short, too. Lou, what were the only two routes that he ran? Remember I kept saying this?
Slants and goes.
Slants and goes, man. Slants and goes. And then look how productive he was with slants and goes. There was nothing crazy with him. So easily, first route's going to be a slant. Next one's going to be a go. And then we're going to see how much you can handle. But he has a good chance of being a 1,000-yard receiver. 65, 75, 80 catches. They're going to have to go to him. Play-action pass is going to be on point. So there's going to be a lot of deep passes where the safety's got to come up and the Patriots find a way to take advantage of it.
All right, listen, yesterday we mentioned how I believe it was the Texas governor talking about not only will sports be allowed to play in June in Texas, but they're figuring out a way. They believe that 25% capacity in the stadiums as well. Well, today, Charlie Baker, speaking of the Patriots, when can they get back to work? Charlie addressed sports in Massachusetts.
We've also had very positive conversations with our professional sports teams, the Celtics, the Bruins, the Patriots, the Red Sox, and the Revolution. And this order will also allow professional sports teams to begin practicing at their facilities in compliance with the health and safety rules that all the leagues are developing. Facilities are still closed to the public at this time. I know we still aren't to the point where we'll have our pro sports teams back playing anything yet. The leagues are obviously working hard to host games again, and I think we all hope that at some point opening practice facilities will help make that happen a little sooner.
So there you have it. I think we're talking about phase two, which is June 8th.
Phase two.
Oh, so good with phases. Like, I'm just done with them. But it looks like the Patriots will be back at it here soon. Hopefully other sports as well.
Well, the Patriots start phase three.
Phase three.
Daffy Duck. Glenn Daffy Duck. So
Charlie opening up a little bit. Maybe allow him to practice at least.
Whoop-dee-doo. Whoop-dee-doo. Honestly,
but it's a first step, at least for those guys, right? To kind of open up the facilities here a little bit.
And that's under new guidelines, regulations, limited numbers, all that jazz, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
better than nothing.
I keep going to this. Whenever I think of what's possible, I think of my experience at Lowe's and Home Depot. What they're doing there, what you're allowed to do there.
Mm-hmm.
How they stay in business and everybody gets along and nobody does anything stupid, and you know, and how the sanitizer at Lowe's smells like tequila. Actually, that's a true thing. I want somebody to please back me up on this, not to take a squirrel moment on you, Lou, but I'm sorry for this. Can someone please confirm that the hand sanitizer at Lowe's smells like tequila? I actually think they ran out of hand sanitizer and they bought cheap tequila. I haven't tried to taste it yet. I haven't taken a drink of it, taken a sip yet. But
let's go, science guy. Why don't you?
I
test
feel
that
like
hypothesis.
Somebody. I know somebody's going to back me up
tequila.
On this.
Tequila smells like tequila.
When's the last time you were in a Lou? I'm telling you, you want to get a lime and some salt. Like you want to get a shot glass and start mixing it up in a.
I
want to
know if
glass.
Anybody's seen Fourier leave Lowe's licking his hand. That's what I want to know.
617-779-7927.
Give us a call. If you've seen Fourier,
I'm there every day.
The local Lowe's probably in Foxborough area somewhere.
No, Plainville. No, Plainville. Yeah, Plainville. I'm in Foxborough.
Do you lick your hands?
That's good.
I feel, Lou, I need confirmation. Somebody that's been to Lowe's, that works at Lowe's, I need someone to co-sign on this. You want it. You put it on your hands, and then you smell your hands like you feel like you're in some some little Mexican restaurant. You're looking for chips and salsa, at least like a shot glass or a lime,
yeah.
Right? And then throw the salt over your shoulder. It's sorry to sidebar you right there, but every time I think of Lowe's, I think of tequila.
No,
now.
No, it's perfectly fine. It's perfectly fine. So Charlie Baker was talking about opening up, you know, facilities, and you're talking about, you know, drinking tequila at Lowe's. It's all good.
Yeah.
Karen Pulido, Lieutenant Governor, she talked about the restrictions about when restaurants open, how they open. You'll hear from her next, as well as Nick Verano. He's going to join us, owner of Strega Restaurants. He'll join us at 3:30. You'll hear all that next.
Don't miss a minute of your favorite WEEI shows by using the Rewind feature in your radio.com app. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Well, Lou, you mentioned it, but the Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker announced that professional sports teams can resume practice at their facilities as soon as Saturday, June 6th. Also, some breaking news trending around the country. Former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin has now been in custody officially.
Good.
And has been charged with third-degree murder and manslaughter in the death of George Floyd. The county attorney says, quote, the investigation is ongoing, end quote, with regards to the three other former officers who were involved in the incident. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver says the NBA League Office did inform the Board of Governors that July 31st is a target date for the return to play for the NBA season, which will probably be happening down at Disney in Orlando.
More positive. Yeah? Trying to open this thing up. July 31st, we got a date. Beautiful.
Speaking of positive news, David Price will pay the Dodgers minor leaguers $1,000 a month for this month of June, an act of generosity that will help over 200 people in the Dodgers minor league system.
Good guy.
And finally, restaurant owner Nick Verano will join us at 3:30. Another mystery guest joins OMF coming up at 4 o'clock. I'm Tyler Devitt. That's what's trending now on WEI and WEI.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, the hearse needs her. Hey, the hearse, he's thirsty, thirsty. Who do I sound like? I sound like the Swedish chef, right?
You sound like you sound like you just came out of Lowe's. That's what you sound like, sipping some of that tequila,
man.
Hand sanitizer. By the way, we got some people here online. We want to address this real quick. Nicky Verano will join us in about 10 minutes.
Yep.
Now, you hear Karen Polito here in a few minutes as well, but first I want to go to Don. He says he works at Lowe's, and he wants to weigh in on this. Go ahead, Don.
Yeah, I work in the Sanford Lowe's in Maine, and personally, it's been really interesting. We do get comments about the smell and the odor from it, but we do get it from a Tennessee manufacturer that does moonshine specifically. So not quite tequila, but I mean, I guess if you decide to try to drink it, you probably could get drunk after a while, but I wouldn't recommend it.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend it either.
Thanks, Don.
I knew it. It was it, and it's strong. Because I lather the hell out of my hands when I go there. If I see free hand sanitizer, I like to take advantage of it. I'm all over the place, putting it behind my ear and everything.
Let me go to Jack in Plymouth because he's backing you up here. Jack, go ahead, pal. You're on OMF.
Hello, man.
Yo.
Yeah, no, I do home improvement, and I'm at Lowe's all the time. And I'm also a tequila guy. So I did notice that. And are you there?
Yes, go ahead.
We're listening.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. So anyway, yeah, no, I'm a tequila guy, which is going to be the next, toilet paper and meat because they're running out of it. Anyway, I smelled it, and it smelled very, very familiar. So
right?
I actually did take a, you know, little
taste
on my hand. I mean, because it smelled like home. So, and it doesn't taste quite the same, but it seems a lot like white tequila.
You know why it doesn't taste? You know why it doesn't taste the same?
Thanks, Jack.
I don't drink tequila straight unless it's the good stuff, and even then I need a little lime and a little bit of a club soda, just a tiny bit. But I'm telling you, I don't think you could tell the difference between like the cheap tequila and what they got at Lowe's.
Wow, I gotta go check that out next time.
Yeah,
see, I have sanitizer.
You're not fixing anything up. I'm all there all the time.
Well, I'm just saying, no, I am, but I got the mini Purell like in the car. So when I get in my car, I kind of do it. You know, I guess I should take advantage of the free tequila at the exit.
Yeah, just rub that on you, hop right in the car. There won't be any issues. Yeah.
I'm telling you, you may be able to get a contact high. I'm not even kidding. If you just smell it, if you put your nose close enough to it.
Let me go to Pat on the Cape. He wants to dive into this Julian Edelman debate. Pat, go ahead, pal. You're on OMF.
Hey, guys. I was just thinking how important Julian Edelman, not just Jared Stidham, but like to the rest of the receiving corps, because he was so on page with Tom Brady. I think if he could get them in like the same book that like and make it their own, that something good could come out of this year. You know?
Yeah.
I am.
Well, he was on the team last year too, though, right? Working with these wide receivers, and there were some issues.
Well, I mean, not well. It's completely different. Tom Brady's not there, so they have to restart. And but if they can get like, obviously, Jarrett Stidham can't do what Tom Brady does. Everyone is different, but if they can, you know, say like this is the professional way we do this, and when we run the routes or whatever, but figure it out for their own. But he's like he's the only one really on the receiving corps that played with Tom Brady for any extensive part of time.
Yeah, everybody else is anything any of those younger receivers learned could easily be either forgotten or just modified. I think it's going to be modified.
I think Edelman's like his attitude, easygoing but like hard-nosed attitude, he can probably relate with he's older but younger people and maybe get that receiving core. I think he's just going to be very integral to
who Edelman?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll ask you this. Who do you think's more important, Lou? N'Keal Harry or Julian Edelman?
Are we talking about next year or the future of this organization? I'd say N'Keal Harry. Future of the organization,
next
N'Keal
year.
Harry.
I'm going next year. Who's more important next for the development of Jarrett Stidham?
Julian Edelman next year.
I see. I say N'Keal Harry.
Receiver.
Hey, Mini Ordway, who do you think? I don't even know this guy's name.
It's Pat.
Pat, you've been listening to Ordway too much. Keep interrupting me.
He's gone. Sorry. No, I think next year, I think it is Julian Edelman. Now, the future of this organization is developing N'Keal Harry into a, you know, number one wide receiver. So that's where I think it's a little bit different.
I think N'Keal Harry, if I'm going to label one guy as being the most important person on the offense, it's N'Keal Harry. It's not Jarrett Stidham. It's N'Keal Harry. It's Jarrett Stidham, and then it's Julian Edelman. Mm-hmm. That in an order. There, look, I put that in an order for you. I didn't take the easy way out.
Look at you. All right. I like that. Well, listen, I think we'll continue that debate a little bit later on. But first, because I know we're going to have Nick Verano here on in about 5 minutes, I want you to hear Karen Polito, Lieutenant Governor. She talked about restaurants opening up and some of the restrictions that they might have here when they do schedule for June 8th.
The restaurant guidance will include protocols for physical space and social distancing, and here are a few highlights. Tables must be positioned 6 feet apart. The maximum party size will be 6 people.
Ooh.
Even when indoor seating is permitted, use of outdoor space will be encouraged for all restaurants to increase ventilation and better social distancing. Customers may not be seated at bars, but bar areas may be reconstituted for table seating.
So,
whatever.
There's also, I guess, apparently, tables can be positioned closer if they're separated by protective non-porous barriers, like glass dividers. So, are you going to put up glass 6 feet high? Install 6 feet high glass dividers between tables so you can have more people in restaurants?
You know what? I wouldn't if I'm a restaurant owner and the best way for me to make money is one, maximize my space and then turn the tables over as quickly as possible. So if they're telling me, hey, you can fit more tables in, you can shorten the distance, then I'm investing in plexiglass and I'm putting it all over the place. It may be on rollers, but I'm investing in plexiglass so I can just and I'll just throw the food over.
Yeah,
it'll
and
be
no,
like a pulley system.
There will be
like
some restaurants that look at this and say, yeah, we can do it. You know, outdoor seating. Some restaurants don't have outdoor seating. It says dance floors, pool tables. They're going to be closed or removed. This one here is good. It's require face coverings for all customers and workers at all times, except where an individual is unable to wear a face covering due to medical condition or disability. However, customers may remove face coverings while seated at tables. So I'm sitting there saying, okay, all times. I first read that, and I'm like, what? I'm not going to sit at a table with a face covering on. I'm going to eat and drink. But, you know, face coverings, you can move them while seated.
You can move them while seated.
Yes.
I know it. I guess I'm not even going to fight it, Lou. Whatever you want me to do. When it comes to getting out of the house, whatever you want me to do.
Right.
You want me to have it on? You want me to take it off? How long do you want me to? Can I take it off when I sit down? Fine. You want me to be 6 feet apart, 3 feet apart? I don't care.
Well, it's a start, right? I mean, it's a start.
Yeah.
It's a start. Now, the question is, how many restaurants will look at this? I think it was I don't know, was it down in New Orleans, wherever they opened up restaurants, and like, you know, they just didn't. Some just didn't. Because given some of the regulations, they'll still sit there and say, this isn't going to work for me, right? Like, I can't work like this. You know, I can't have, you know, 25, 30% capacity. Those are the restaurants that don't work, you know? So, I don't know, maybe you alter the menu, the amount of staff you have. We'll see, which is why we want to talk to Nick Verano to try to get an idea. Now, you know Nick, he owns Strega down in Hanover Street, as well as Nico, Rena's Pizzeria down in the North End as well, and also Fratelli's, which is over at Encore Boston Casino Hotel. Absolutely outstanding. And fan of the show, my good friend here, Nick Verano. We'll bring Nick in right now. Nick, how you doing, pal? Christian and Lou.
Hey, how are you, Lou? Hi, Christian. What's happening, guys?
Hey, brother. How you doing?
Hey, we're hanging in there. How are you doing, by the way?
I'm doing excellent. Thank God. No complaints.
Attaboy.
Really? Wait. No complaints, Nick. I would think this would be the one time where you could have some legitimate complaints and no one would hold it against you.
How am I going to complain? I was 400 pounds. Now I'm a little bit over 250. I'm good looking. I'm charming. I'm Italian. I mean, what complaints do we have?
Well, when you look at it, when you take it that way.
Hey, Nick.
I eat for free every day. You know what I mean? I mean, what else is there?
And it's good food, too. I love it. So, Nicky, I know you obviously it's something you're paying attention to, restaurant owners in the city. Karen Polito talking about some of those restrictions. Some restaurants can operate this way. Others sit there and say, even with this, even when you tell me I can open up, I can't. So how does the situation work for you in some of the restaurants you have down there, especially in the North End?
Well, listen, for me, I'm super excited, first of all, for the opportunity to have outdoor seating in the North End.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the greatest inner-city Italian neighborhood in the country. We have the best people, the best business owners in the country. It's the North End. You got the atmosphere. We never thought we'd have outdoor seating. We're finally getting a chance to show we could do outdoors. When you walk down Hanover Street, you're going to have that, or Salem Street, or any street down here, you're going to have that sense of a neighborhood. You know, it's going to come back. We don't have the feast this year because of everything that's going on, right? And it's a start. At least I'm excited because it's a start to do something.
Hey, Nick,
and I think the new norm is only going to be temporarily. So we get started, we get going. And as soon as these guys figure this all out, right, on the health side, we're going to be back to normal sooner than later, but let's make it safe. You know, what did Sinatra say, Lou, right? He did it his way.
Yeah.
We're just going to do it the right way and a little safer way.
Hey, has there been any discussion about making Hanover just foot traffic and being able to use the street?
Lou, I think you're right on the money. I think there's been some talk about making it maybe no cars at all or making one single lane. Nothing's etched in stone yet. I know that the guys up City Hall are working hard to try to figure something out for everybody here. And listen, for me, it's a dream come true. Would I like to be open up 100%? Absolutely. Wouldn't everybody? Absolutely. But at the end of the day, right, we have to think about one thing. These guys make decisions for millions of people. It ain't just us. It ain't just about the guy that wants to come in for dinner, take his grill out, or do something. It's got to be safe. It's got to be safe, one, for the employees. It's got to be safe for the customers. And especially this neighborhood, it's about the atmosphere, right? It's about the energy. You know, it's about the culture. It's going to come back. Everybody wants to open up 100%, including me. But at least this is a start. We should be excited that we're starting. Let me ask you a question. One more day, two more days, three more days, four more days. What's a cup of water when you're drowning? Is it going to make really a difference? Let's relax, do it right, you know. And they're all going to come back to the North End.
Yeah, you know what, Nick, I hear you, but when you look at what other states are doing, when you see that Florida, I'll use Florida because everybody uses Florida, but there's other, Rhode Island, you know, where you can, they're already having outdoor scene. They're a little bit more proactive. I would say even a little bit more aggressive. Do you look at that and just question the decisions that the people in leadership are making?
Christian, I know a lot of people here do. I don't, and here's why, and maybe it's because I'm biased, because this COVID-19 has affected me a little bit and some part of my family, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I look at it more from the safety standpoint. But I listen, nobody wants to be more ready to open up, welcome everybody, you know, shake hands, kiss babies, and, you know, do away with the fist bumps and the masks than me, right? Because, you know, I think I've kissed Lou more times than I've, you know, kissed my own family.
More than my wife.
Definitely more than my wife. That's for sure. But I think, listen, this is great news today. It's a start. Is it what everybody wants? No. How are you going to make everybody happy? It's impossible. Why, you think everybody likes you two guys? There are days when you guys are talking, I hate you both.
Well, I would say that's 90% of our audience. Yeah.
Join the club.
Yeah, well, but Nick, I think the other thing that the other, I guess, result of this is employees. And a lot of them have either been fired, they've been furloughed. And how difficult is it going to be for restaurants, not just Nick Verano and his places, because everybody wants to work there, but the other smaller places are less established places. How difficult is it going to be for them to get employees back into the workforce? Back
Christian,
into the restaurants?
Very good point. Very good question. And that's a serious thing, because it's going to be very hard. It's not easy. Everybody's going to have to make sacrifices, right? Everybody's going to go maybe have to roll up their sleeves and get back to work. You know, maybe they're going to be short guys in the kitchen or on the floor and, you know, till it comes back. But it's going to come back, guys. You understand? We're not a country that's going to stop. Once they figure this out, come up with a vaccine, it's going to come back. We just need to be relaxed, be patient. And for the time being, if you can't get the help back for whatever reason, maybe because they cut down your occupancy or the 6 feet apart thing on the table, so you can't use six waitresses or waiters, you need three. So people are out of work, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have to figure it out. You have to roll up your sleeves. You're going to go back to work and just figure it out. There's so many more, you know, listen, and like I said, this is only my opinion. There's so many more deeper issues in this country and rooted things that are so wrong. I almost swore there.
I heard that one,
right?
Yeah.
That these are sacrifices that we all just got to make, right, and figure it out. But I'm going to tell you something. We're so strong. The North End is strong. This is the mecca for restaurants in the city of Boston. We've got 100 restaurants on two streets. All these other neighborhoods, I've been in all of them. They're amazing, right? Southie, Charlestown, downtown Boston, Back Bay. They're all unbelievable, great. But the North End, that's what we're known for, is restaurants and hospitality. We do it, you know, the same, if not better than anywhere else in the city, right? So when it comes back, we're going to be still outside our restaurants, right, singing Bolari and hugging and kissing babies, and we're going to welcome everybody back. Will it be different for a little while? Yes, but it's going
to
come back.
Oh, we're talking to Nick Verano, restaurant owner in the North End, Strega, Nico, Arena's Pizzeria, here in the Harbor One Hotline. Nick, and Nick, I wanted to ask you, because we've talked about this a lot, you know, talking about restrictions and how many people you can have in restaurants, and I don't know, you tell me, you're in the business, if you're only at 33% capacity, like to me, 25% capacity, those are restaurants that change names every single year. So what is it? What do you? How many people do you need to make it functional? Do you minimize your menu, less people working? How does it work?
You got it right on the money, Lou. You got to make it work. So you got to figure it out, right? But listen, guys that have been in business 10, 15, 20 years, right, they have their own formula. They'll figure it out. Is it going to be harder for a while? Absolutely. You can't maintain a restaurant that you were doing 200 people a night, doing 40, 50. But you got to figure out a way. You minimize the menu. You get creative on your reservations. You just market it differently. And yeah, always remember that it's temporary. You're not going to be making the money you once made. But even less fortunate, your staff's not going to be making the money. So don't worry mostly about yourself. Worry about everybody else. And find ways to make the sacrifices and find ways to create a formula that works for your place. Listen, for me, I went from 400 employees down to, what I got, like 30, 40, right?
Yeah.
I went from restaurants with 300 seats to a restaurant with 50 seats. So if they do what you say, Lou, and we go down to 50% capacity, it's going to be very hard, right?
Yeah.
But that don't mean I can't make it work. I just got to make sacrifices.
Well, Nick, let me ask you a question, because
we're making as restaurant owners is not the end of the world.
Yeah,
I hear you, and it's you got to be clever and creative with it. I definitely agree, and I think the public will kind of, you know, understand that. But have you, some of these other restaurants, I feel like, all right, so they can't pay their mortgage, they can't pay their lease. Do you feel like a lot of these restaurant owners are getting, I don't know, like a relief from their lease in order to stay open? Because I would assume that, you know, that needs to be part of this, the calculation. Do you see that at all?
Very good question. it's a trickle-down effect, right? And everybody's going to understand. The banks are going to be more understanding. The landlords have to be more understanding. And listen, you got to get them first, right?
Yeah.
It's who tags who first. You got to go to the landlords. You got to go to the bank, say, listen, here's my situation, right? And this is advice that I'm giving to anybody that's asking me in the neighborhood or anyone that, that's been in business, right? Go to them first and say, listen, you know what it is, right? I went from being able to do this to do this. You got to help me and work with me. And they're going to say yes if you position yourself early. And here's why. What are the options? Who's coming in there to lease a restaurant and pay the rent that it was, right, with a capacity that's 25 or 50%, right, that's got an established name already, right? You'd rather throw them out or have them sell and get out and put in somebody that's just getting started and you're taking a shot with. You can't do that right now. So the landlords will understand and the banks will understand. What are they going to do? They can't eat the money, right? So they'll figure out and they'll work with you. But you got to be understanding, and they will 100% be understanding because their options are very few.
All right, Nick, listen, man.
A restaurant goes out of business. You can't get somebody that just stopped because he wants to open up a restaurant and say, I'm going to take a show with this guy because this guy is late in his rent for the last 2 months. They'll figure it out.
Yeah. Well, listen, man, we appreciate you making the time. And you know, I actually love the idea of making Hanover Street foot traffic. I think that'd be a great atmosphere.
I can't wait for it. I'm excited. I love it. And listen, at the end of the day, we can't make everybody happy. We just got to try to do the best we got. And Lou, honest to God, next time, right?
Yeah.
Don't ever bother me between 3 and 4. It's when I play cards and eat.
You used to eat a lot more, Nick. I know that. You used to eat a lot more, like you said. Hey, listen, man, thanks. I really appreciate you joining us. Nick Verano.
Thanks, Nick.
Thanks, Nick.
Hey, you guys are the best. Stay safe. God bless everybody.
All right, buddy, you too. That was Nick Verano giving us a little insight on what's happening in North End. I don't know. Like I said, I love that idea. You know, they do Yawkey Way, how they, or whatever it is called now. They shut that thing off and it's just foot traffic. Hanover Street? Foot traffic?
Yeah.
Outdoor restaurants?
I saw that there is over 270 requests to get the sidewalk permits, the parking lanes. They want to extend it. They want to take advantage of as much space as possible in order to get as many
seats as possible. You know what the problem with that is? And I heard this from one restaurant. Liquor license. Serve liquor indoors, but they can't outdoors. I thought someone had like some kind of issue with that. You know, like you can serve in, but your liquor license isn't an outdoor seating, so I don't know how that affects it, but anyways. You guys want to chime in on the restaurants reopening in Boston? We're also talking about possibly the Ryan Hannibal article. N'Keal Harry would be better off with Jared Stidham. We'll get into all that and more when OMF continues right after this.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
On Twitter,
at Lou Berlone.
I obviously agree with Lou.
But what? I don't know what the hell I even said.
Back to OMF.
On WEEI.
All right, welcome back to OMF. No Ordway. It's Maloney and Four. You got the MFers here. Real quick, a tweet from Gary Washburn. Celtics announced individual workouts for players will begin at Auerbach Center on June 1st. With, I believe, to build on that, Tyler, would you say June 6th?
Yeah, June 1 for voluntary workouts. June 6, they could have practices.
So I would imagine, I haven't seen anything up yet, but Warrior Arena, the same thing?
Well, they're neighbors. So you can't tell one building they can open and the other one that they can't.
Yeah, and Chris, you said Fenway South too, right?
What about it?
Did you say that was open?
Oh, yeah, down in Florida. Yeah, for players to come back either to rehab or start training. Like, you go to Fenway South and start getting in shape, getting in the batting cages. Different set of rules down there. It's happening, Lou.
Well, no,
it's happening.
It is, but I'm, you know, this is sort of like Brady going out there and working, just practicing with his teammates at a field, you know, down in Tampa Bay, and it's just, oh, okay, so we've agreed upon, like, the protocols, the safety protocols and practices. That's already agreed upon nation, you know, as far as these leagues go. For Auerbach to open up individual workouts June 1st, June 6th, maybe some practices. We've already agreed that they're going to get tested when they walk in. Are they already in town? Are they quarantined? All these things, right? That's all straightened out, I guess?
Well, I mean, I would assume so, Lou, based on the fact that if you're going to make the announcement that guys can come back in,
mm-hmm.
then you wouldn't make that announcement unless you already had your protocol set. Now, not that I keep going to this, but I do think it's an indication of how, you know, farther along these people are than we originally thought. The colleges already have their protocol set. So why wouldn't the NBA? And again, we asked Dan Patrick yesterday, who's doing a better job handling the return? He said the NBA.
Yeah.
You don't think the NBA, you haven't heard anything from them. They weren't giving you any deadlines. And so they announce when they're coming back and you realize that they're not going to change it. Because that was always the biggest issue, was how inconsistent all the news was getting. And then I think the teams finally realized that they couldn't predict anything because the virus was so unpredictable. So any decision that you made had to be changed.
It seems like, you know, financially they're good, right? Players got what they got already. So they're talking about Disney, a bubble. Looks like the protocols are in place. Now they're just debating whether they have 20 teams, 24 teams. I mean, that still seems to be up for debate right now. You know, with the new format of, what's the top 8 teams in the East, top 12 teams in the West, kind of like some little play-in type format. So it seems like they've moved past everything, and they're just trying to figure out what the format looks like. You know, the NHL, they're still choosing between 10 cities to have 2 hubs to hold this, but it seems like they're on the right page as well. Financially, we know how the NHL works. They escrow money. They've escrowed more money this year. We'll see what those books look like at the end of the year because they have an agreement. Baseball, on the other hand, is so far apart that I don't even know if we've gotten to the protocols yet. I don't even know if we've gotten a format yet, because right now it's all about money. So there's no question that baseball is losing in this thing when they start talking about the MLS. They're doing some tournament down in Florida. Baseball's lagging behind in all of them. But it looks like the Auerbach Center will open up June 1st for individual workouts, June 6th for team workouts, and I'm guessing the Warrior Arena is right around the corner.
So if that's the case, then I guess the whole, we're going down to wide world of sports, that's probably been penciled in as a definite, wouldn't you say?
Yes.
Right, so, okay, so now this is all voluntary, correct? None of this is organized practices. This is, hey, if you're in town, come in, get your legs back, start getting used to a new routine. The playoffs are going to happen soon. We're going to be in the playoffs. Let's get serious. I just saw a video of James Harden running and playing around outside, like doing all his drills, doing hills, working out, training. Not saying that, you know, that's an indication, but it, you know, guys are just doing workouts. They're just doing them outside. Now it's time to, I guess, reconnect with everybody.
Yeah. And we'll have our mystery guest too, by the way, at 4 o'clock. We'll start guessing that in about 3 or 4 minutes. But
yeah,
real quick, you brought up Disney World and SeaWorld. You know, opening up, well, they've gotten the go-ahead from the state of Florida, by the way. Their reopening plan. SeaWorld will reopen June 11th. June 11th. And it'll be a tiered approach. Magic Kingdom, Animal Kingdom opening up July 11th, followed by Epcot and Hollywood Studios July 15th. SeaWorld, June 11th. Meanwhile, we've canceled the Boston Marathon September 14th.
Yeah, I told you that yesterday.
But I didn't know the dates. I knew that maybe you said they were coming up soon here, but June 11th?
Yeah, I didn't have a
Monday's
date yet.
Monday's the first.
But they had announced that they were coming back, and, you know, you already had the Disney Springs, that whole thing. But Legoland, SeaWorld, and Disneyland, and Disney World, they're all coming back. So you're going to have
people inside these parks, and you won't be able to watch a game on TV. To me, that's absurd. You're gonna have people paying money to go through Disneyland, go to SeaWorld, go to Legoland, and you still won't be able to watch a sporting event on TV with no fans.
Well,
it's
funny because I'm reading, so it says guests and cast members are going to be required to wear face coverings. And then parades, fireworks, and other events that create crowds will be temporarily suspended. If you take the parade, the fireworks, you know, other events, Epcot, that type of stuff, right? The fireworks at night. Isn't just Disney in general like a crowd? Other events that create crowds will be suspended. Isn't just SeaWorld like a crowd?
It's a mass. It's nuts. I will say this, though. This may be the time to go to Disneyland. No lines.
You think?
Yeah, I bet it's hard. I had a buddy of mine who actually canceled his trip to Disney World for obvious reasons. But if they're opening up, so if you're comfortable with it, this would be no lines. No, forget about Fast Pass. You just walk on to the lines, and you know they're cleaning everything like crazy there.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's I might have to book a trip.
There you go. Book a trip.
Cheap flights, and a guaranteed no lines.
There it
no
is.
No Fast Pass.
SeaWorld.
Save money.
SeaWorld opens up June 11th. That's not a couple weeks
SeaWorld's
away.
SeaWorld's easy though. You think about SeaWorld. You
what
literally
about Shamu?
Just.
How about people understand?
You just sit there and you mark off, 6 feet, whatever, of groups of 10. I don't know, whatever it is.
Right.
That's easy.
All right, Magic Kingdom, Animal Kingdom open up July 11th. Epcot and Hollywood Studios July 15th. And with that, it's now time for us to guest our mystery guest. Who can it be now? Who is that?
Who are you?
Who can it be now?
Who is he?
Who the hell are you?
All right, time now for our mystery guest. Christian, you want to go over the rules because they're changing daily. Where are we right now? Are we each asking two or we got a speed round?
No, that we're still getting a crappy hint. That doesn't change. We are still getting two questions each, but since Glenn is gone, we're going to get three questions each. But I would like to put a restriction on the amount of time that we monologue in ho and hum about our questions. So I'm going to cap it at 3 minutes. It was two. I'm going to cap it at three. And if we get them all in and we feel comfortable where they're at, we'll end it right then and there. We'll go to break, and then we'll reveal our guest.
All right.
You like that?
Tyler, there you go. Give us our crappy hint for our mystery guest.
Your hint today, and the clock will start at the end of the hint.
Mm-hmm.
This person had a career in the NFL before joining the media. Again, your hint, this person had a career in the NFL before joining the media, and your clock starts now.
Did he play for the Patriots?
No.
Was he an offensive player?
Nope.
So defensive guy. Okay, we got that. Defensive player. Did not play with the Patriots. Go ahead.
Did he ever win a Super Bowl?
No.
No.
Was he a defensive lineman?
No.
Was he a defensive back?
Nope.
So he's
was
a linebacker.
He a linebacker?
No.
He wasn't
what
a linebacker?
Are you talking about?
Well, was he a punter? Is he a special teams player?
No.
What?
What are you doing?
He's
on defense. He's not a linebacker, D lineman, or DB, or not a punter.
He's not a player.
You said he had a career in the NFL.
Oh, is he a coach?
No.
Is he an announcer?
Not an announcer.
Is he a ref?
Nope.
Is he an executive?
Yes.
Okay, he's an executive. We had
is
the
he
wrong,
a general manager?
Way.
Yes.
I know who it is. Wait, was he a GM for the Patriots?
No.
Oh, it's not who I thought it was.
God.
It's not Scott Pioli.
No, it's what I thought it was.
Was he a GM for a team in the AFC East?
Yes.
Okay, so was he a GM for the Jets?
He didn't win a Super Bowl.
Was he a GM for the Jets?
Not technically, but I know where you're going. Yes, he was.
He not was a GM for the Jets.
He was the executive vice president of football ops.
For the Jets?
Correct.
In the last 5 years?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay. Damn.
Wow. Is he still?
Okay. Is he white? Is he white?
Yes, he's white.
Okay.
Is he still in the NFL?
No.
Oh, does he work in TV?
Yes.
Does he work for ESPN?
Yes. 1 minute left. 1 minute.
Oh, okay, I think I got
okay.
it.
I think I know who it is. I think I don't think I need any more. I think I'm good.
Yeah, me too.
I think I'm good.
I think we're good.
I,
I can't remember his name, but I got to look it up.
Yeah, okay. I think we're good.
I think I know exactly who it is. Does he work with Rob Nikovich? Yeah,
he does work with Rob, yes.
Okay. I know exactly who it is.
All right.
Okay. Well, this is a good one. I think I like this one.
All right, we're good. So let's, let's sell
some soap.
Yeah, well, we got to do some soap here because Christian, by the way, is at his home, Shaw Studio, Shaw's and Star Market Studio at home. He's social distancing. Well, I'm here in Brighton at my Shaw's and Star Market Studio right here in Brighton. I think we both might have this mystery guest. We'll find out exactly who it is when OMF continues in just 1 minute.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.